Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a great show for you today. Our guest for this segment is Shannon Richesher. She is a PhD with the IU School of Medicine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, are you a researcher, Shannon, or what is
your
role?
Yes, I'm primarily a researcher at the Indiana Alzheimer Disease Center.
Wow.
I'm in the Department of Radiology, so we study different types of brain markers that can be used for early detection of Alzheimer's disease.
That's got to be fascinating.
Yeah, it's a great field. I enjoy what I do. It's very interesting, and it also has the potential to help a lot of people, and so that's an added benefit, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I bet there's some frustrating days as well.
Sure. I mean, one of the more frustrating things, you know, for us as researchers is just the lack of progress on the treatment front for patients with Alzheimer's disease. You know, we have made a lot of progress towards understanding the disease, and hopefully, you know, one day we'll have a treatment soon. It's just it's been slower than we would like.
Right. There really isn't one at this point in our lives,
right,
is there?
Yeah. That's correct. Yes. At this point, all we can provide patients is symptomatic treatment, but we can't currently reverse or stop the progression of the actual disease.
Well, I'm hoping you find the answer before I get it, because my father had it and possibly his father. So it's coming.
Yeah,
I know.
And it is hereditary. They do know that, right? Partially hereditary.
Yes. I mean, it's certainly not determined that right. If your parent had it, but it does put you at greater risk for developing dementia as you age.
There is an event coming up, the IU School of Medicine, Indiana Alzheimer's Disease Center, putting on the 12th annual Martin Family Alzheimer Disease Caregiver Symposium. It's a lot to say, but that's exactly what it's going to be. Have you been a part of this in the past?
Yeah, I have. I'm in the neuroimaging core of the Alzheimer's Center, so we do a lot with the outreach core, which is what heads up all of our events with the community, to provide whether it's scientific talks or support, you know, about what are the opportunities for research. We've done quite a bit over the last. I've been here quite a while, probably 5 or 6 years. So. We've done quite a bit.
So tell me, it's after the Martin family. Who is the Martin family, if you don't mind me asking?
They're a family who've supported the center financially due to history of Alzheimer's disease in their family, and they've been generously supporting this symposium, primarily geared at caregivers of people with dementia.
You know, we've had people on the show that have talked to us about dementia. We know that Alzheimer's is under that umbrella. And just watching family members go through this, the caregivers, it's really a lot on these caregivers, the family members. And your symposium has an agenda that would be very helpful to people who are going through this.
Yeah, the goal of the event really is to provide information and support for people who are caring for a loved one or a friend with dementia. Although everybody is welcome to attend, that's really the goal of the event is to try to help the stress that these caregivers are under caring for somebody that they care about who has this unfortunate disease.
Have you ever had any? Are you interested in this field for a certain reason? You yourself?
I actually have had, I had a grandparent who had vascular dementia.
Interesting. And there's different
rather
kinds.
Than Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alzheimer's disease is just one type of dementia. There are other causes. Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia, but other types of pathology can cause dementia in older adults.
So you've got some great speakers lined up, a couple of keynote speeches. One is Cheryl Zimmerman. Do you remember what she's going to talk about, or you want me to refresh your memory? She's doing, go ahead.
So she has developed evidence-based practices, so different types of interventions that can be used to help caregivers respond to various things that come up in the caregiving process. So behaviors of the patient that might emerge, and then medical events that you know, as the disease progresses, are likely to come up. Her central focus is trying to help caregivers respond in a positive way and to these types of events and help themselves and the patient with these difficult things that happen.
It's not always easy. I mean, it's just not.
No, I mean, caregivers go through a lot of stress, and it's difficult, I think, to, you know, make the decisions, medical decisions for a loved one with dementia, trying to understand what they would want versus, you know, what you might want, and that can be challenging for people. And I think that's part of the goal of this symposium and that talk is to try to help people deal with those kinds of issues and stresses.
Julia Walker is going to be speaking also, and she's going to talk primarily about using speech therapy to help, you know, with the communication process.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, as the disease progresses, caregivers have a more difficult time, you know, perhaps communicating verbally with the patients. And I think there are different types of therapies and interventions that people can do to try to improve their communication with the person with dementia, regardless of their dementia stage.
Right. There's always the legal and financial component. Will there be information to help people with that?
Yes. So there's going to be a talk by Anita Hardin, and she is, I think, a former attorney. She may still be practicing. I'm not certain. But she has a family history of Alzheimer's disease and vascular dementia. And she's been a caregiver as well as knows this area from a legal background to try to help people in a legal and financial sense get things arranged for them, their loved ones with dementia.
There's going to be a caregiver panel. Is that where you can kind of ask questions from other people that are doing what you're doing? Is that how that's sort of set up?
Yeah, so it's set up with people who are caregivers or have been caregivers of people with dementia. And the panel is primarily to discuss issues that perhaps they feel are important, as well as to take questions from the attendees about different situations that they might need additional assistance or just a kind ear to talk about, you know, things that happen in their caregiving experiences.
Yeah. This event happens on Friday, September the 28th. It's a day-long symposium, and it's free, which is incredible, but you do need to register, correct?
Yes. Yes. So there's a website that you can go to and register for this event. And, you know, we're happy to have both people who are caregivers and those who just might be interested or might have some questions about caregiving for older adults.
And that website would be, do you know it offhand?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Mary Pat, could you look that up
while
we're chatting?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I don't.
Okay, we'll find it for you guys. We'll have it on indieboomer.com for sure in the Facebook page if we don't find it by the time.
Yeah, it's a little complicated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. Is that why? It's like a bunch of
things.
It's is.gd/martin_family_2018.
Or you could call
963-5500,
963-5500. That might be easier.
317, of course.
Yes, yes.
You know, Shannon, I'm curious. The symposium is great, but do you have information that, you know, anytime people could go to? I just wonder, you know, if people find out their loved one has Alzheimer's, if there's a place besides the Alzheimer's Association of Indiana, to find out some of these answers. Do you guys supply that too? Or?
Yeah, so our Alzheimer's Disease Center has a number of missions, you know, from research to clinical care to clinical trials to just providing information for people who either may have an early diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's disease, or a family member or friend who has questions about the disease and potentially how it might affect their loved one. So the number that you gave, the 317-963-5500 number, is kind of our main number that you can call, and from there we'll connect you with the right people who can help you with whatever your questions are, or if you're interested in volunteering for any of the studies.
Good.
Well, thank you for the good work that you're doing. It would be great if we found something on your watch, wouldn't it?
Yes, it certainly would. Man. It would, you know, it's a frustrating but also very rewarding field, and I think ultimately, I hope that over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to have at least something that we can offer people and some hope to really deal with this disease down the road.
We are talking to Shannon Richesher. She's a PhD with the IU School of Medicine, Indiana Alzheimer's Disease Center. Thank you for your time today. We appreciate
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Shannon.
And you're listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Welcome back. We're so glad you're listening today. Our guest for this segment is Dan Shockley. He is with the Indiana Historical Society, and he's the Museum Theater Director. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So there's a theater there in the Historical Society. So are you basically the guy that, well, tell us what you do.
Well, we've kind of turned several of our rooms into exhibits, which are theater themselves. So we've turned into museum theater.
Cool.
So it doesn't take place on a stage, whereas you walk into a room, and in this particular case with the new one, you're walking into an inn in 1839 Danville, and you're surrounded by the stage. Essentially, you're on the stage.
Oh, so you become a part of the stage.
You do. You do. Ooh. You're surrounded by four walls once the door is closed behind you, and everything looks like it's decked out as it would be in 1839.
Oh, my gosh. How unique. So this new, are we calling it an exhibit? What are we calling it?
It's part of the You Are There series. It's an exhibit series where we take a moment from Indiana's past, and we build a scene three-dimensionally. We populate it with actors in costume, in character. All of the characters are based on people who could have truly been in whatever space it happens to be. And right now we have 1863 Spencer, Indiana. The Battle of Gettysburg is told through a letter sent home to Captain David Beam's wife in Spencer.
Cool.
And then we're about to open our 1839 experience with a Methodist circuit rider.
Now, how often do they change?
Every 6 months, we open a new You Are There.
A new You Are
type
There
experience.
And
yeah.
How long have you been doing these You Are There experiences? I should know this.
We did a pilot phase in 2008.
Okay.
To kind of see what if the concept would work, and luckily it did. So in 2010, we reopened our building after some modifications, and I can't remember what number we're on. We're in the upper teens right now of these experiences.
And I've been to a few of those. I remember when you had like the old general store somewhere.
You did Kennedy, too. That was good.
We did. We did the night that Martin Luther King was assassinated, but Robert Kennedy happened to be in downtown Indianapolis and recreated the moment when, you know, many of the citizens of Indianapolis heard for the first time Martin Luther King had been killed. Mm. And it really, you know, it resonated with so many of our guests because some were too young to know that. Others were very aware of that moment, and still more were actually in attendance that night and would come in and maybe even see themselves represented by an actor playing them in that moment.
Wow. Well, the exhibit that opens on the 22nd is called Religion and the Divided Frontier.
Yes.
So tell us about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. It has been a very complicated story for us to tell. You know, we tell all these stories about, like, Italian prisoners of war at Camp Atterbury, which was a surprise to so many of our guests during World War II. But this one is religion and politics and a day in the life of someone here in the West, which at that time in the 1830s, Indianapolis was the West.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is to think about, you know, how right now we're the Midwest,
yeah.
But then we were the frontier. And so it really is about how the people of Danville in particular were navigating the politics of the day and the various religious divides among the various religions and things like that. So it's been really interesting. We have learned a ton in the last couple of years of research and definitely in the last month of actor training to prepare the actors to tell this story.
And that was a time that it was basically kind of known as the Western Revival.
Yes.
Transformation of religious and political, you know, thoughts and processes. And when you talk about, go ahead, speak to that. Go ahead.
And it was also a time of where religions were splintering.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you'll see before you walk into the You Are There portion of the exhibit is you'll see what we call a family tree of the various big religions of 1839 and here in the West. But, you know, like Methodism and the Methodist Church split several different ways based on, you know, doctrine, or, you know, some churches would split because, well, I believe in predestination and mm-hmm. I don't. So, okay, we'll go start our own church. And it's a time of a lot of change in the religious Indiana at the time.
Don't you find that it's interesting? I mean, we're still doing that stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're still doing
absolutely.
That. It's just a different topic. It's not predestination. It might be, you know, women in the priesthood or whatever.
Right. Or gays in the church.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it could be anything.
What's their role? Exactly. So it'd be interesting to go back and see, you know, everything old is new again. You know, kind
yes.
of, it sounds like one of those types of exhibits. So you.
And that's how it feels, that, mm-hmm. that, you know, so many topics we're talking about in 1830.
Yeah, it's relevant.
When we talk about, you know, Native American removal, you know, the Trail of Death was in 1838. And so here in 1839, you know, we've just seen this group of people from our state, and here we are in 2018, where there are groups of people we're saying are not welcome here.
It's unconscionable, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you might think, oh, we'll stop doing that someday, but we haven't yet.
So you talk about the big religions of the time. You talked about Methodism. What were the other big religions of that time?
Presbyterian.
Ah.
Baptist.
Uh-huh.
Disciples of Christ, which you might call the Campbellites at that time. They are fairly new on the scene in this moment, the Disciples of Christ. And then the Mormons are also fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any here in Indiana, in our story, at least.
Okay. Why is that? Why did you choose to do that? Just curious, because there weren't any in Indiana at that time?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
They were all...
So it wasn't a conscious choice.
Okay.
It was...
historical
that there
choice.
Weren't any in Danville mm-hmm. in our time.
Okay.
We're saying it is Tuesday, May 14th, 1839.
Wow.
And so, you know, not every religion is represented because right. on that date in Indiana, not every religion was represented in the space or in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a time where Catholicism was starting to take off with new immigrants coming over, the Irish and
mm-hmm.
things like that. But not yet really here in Indiana was it a thing.
Okay.
But it was certainly a topic. And it's interesting, you know, how the beliefs differ or they're the same by the various religions.
Yeah.
Priests and things like that. So the hierarchy of religion is really a big topic of conversation. Certainly the Methodist and the Presbyterian have some differences
mm-hmm.
in that way. In our time, there was a Presbyterian minister and church in Danville, but the Methodists were still a circuit rider. Our Methodist story is about a circuit rider traveling because there wasn't an established Methodist, you know, congregation in Danville at this time.
Hmm.
It's really interesting.
It really, really is. We're talking to Dan Shockley. He's the Museum Theater Director at the Indiana Historical Society. Is this an interactive type of adventure? I mean, when you are, like, can you speak to the characters? You know what
sure.
I'm saying? Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you walk into a You Are There, there's no script. You meet actors in costume and character, but there's no script.
Oh.
And I call it conversational learning, and it really is, you know, the more you as a guest want to come in and have a conversation, and a conversation can start as easy as, how's your day going?
Mm-hmm.
And go from there.
Yeah.
You get more out of it as the guest, because how's your day going can go in 1,000 directions.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, we did that with the L.S. Ayres Tea Room.
Yes.
And you had a lady in there, and she knew everything. It was so cool.
It's amazing what our actors learn in their research.
And repeat.
And that's the thing. Since it's conversation, you can ask anything you like.
Mm-hmm.
And then 30 seconds later, the next guest walks in and asks anything they like. So
they've got to be on it, man.
They've got to be on it.
They need to have their 8 hours of sleep before they show up to work.
That's exactly right.
Oh, sounds great. Sounds really great. Opens the 22nd. So it's open. All right. Dan Shockley, the Museum Theater Director of the Indiana Historical Society. This conversational learning experience is called Religion and the Divided Frontier. So 1839 in Danville. Very intriguing. Well, thank you for your perspective. It's really been a fun segment.
Hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Okay. Well, you take care. And to our listeners, we thank you for listening to Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Makes me smile when I hear Tommy. You know, it's been 2 years since we lost him. Ugh.
Yep.
But I love his voice, and he will forever be on this show and in our hearts. So we hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Boomer Radio. We're going to wrap by mentioning that the new magazine is out in Kroger stores with John Steer on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a John Steer story that I don't think most people have heard.
Okay.
So I'm in the Nora Target years and years and years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there with his daughter buying a lava lamp. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
He was right in front of me at the checkout, and I'm sure it was for his daughter, but it was just kind of cute. It was Daddy at Target getting whatever it was. But anyway, so he's on the cover of the magazine. Pick it up. One of the groovy things inside is the coupon stick Kaplingers.
Oh my goodness! He gets a ton of those back.
It's a coupon for buy one get one free dinner.
I've had people call me and ask where they could get the magazine because they found it somewhere in a doctor's office. I said, "Well, just go to Kroger and you can pick another one."
Yeah, there's coupons in there which we all love. Okay, we've got a Boomer TV show, a new episode. Well, it's a rebroadcast, but you haven't seen it for a long time. And on this episode Tuesday on WFYI. I really have fun with Kern Palmer. She's a local designer, and she's really great with the window treatments. That's like her specialty. But she talks about texture and color and all the hot things for 2018 in a home. And of course, we're in a Westport home, this gorgeous Westport home.
She knows her stuff.
She does. So watch for that if you're looking for some decorating ideas.
Yeah. And you know, another one we did, which was really fun. It's a band called 45 RPM. And they are the British Invasion. They do the Beatles, but they do everything from like the 60s. And
it's
anyway,
a good name.
It is a good name. So there we have a good interview with them as well.
A little take from those old vinyls, the old licorice pizzas, as we called them, the records. And isn't this the episode where Stacia Matthews talks about having a stroke?
Yes, Stacia talks and her doctor talks. And, you know, it's really informative. And luckily, Stacia knew what to do when her stroke occurred.
Thank God, or she wouldn't be with us. So, TV show, the magazine, the radio, we appreciate all of your support for all three of our adventures. And thank you for listening again. We'll be back next Saturday, 4:30, right here on Freedom 95.